Any other titles you can think of?
Sinner saved by grace.
All right. The Lord said that I was happy, proud to call you brother, and happy to call you brother. Brother Paul Rose. Come on up, Brother Rose.
All right. Well, God bless you, Brother Tom, and I'm so thankful for the privilege to be here today. And Brother Tom, when I talked to him, he said, Brother, why don't you get up here and preach for Sunday school? So let's do exactly that. Mark chapter 5. And I want to look this morning at just a few verses. But I don't know your custom, but if you wouldn't mind standing with me if I just read 3 verses. If you cannot stand because of your physical ailment, stay seated. It's okay. God still loves you, and He's going to love you no matter if you stand or sit. It don't matter. The Bible says that when Jesus was passed over again, I'm verse 21, by the way, Mark 5, 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Him, he fell at His feet and besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. The first few words of verse 24 says, And Jesus went with him. Let me call upon the name of the Lord, and I want to preach a message this morning. If the Lord allow me to do it, if He'll accompany me, give me the grace. Can you trust the Lord? Father, I come into Your presence right now, Father, pleading Your grace. How many times have I hid behind pulpits calling into Your name? You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Save me from the situation. Help me this morning. Grant me the grace to accomplish that that You'd have me accomplish. Give me the strength to do it. Father, it's Your church. It's Your word. It's Your work. It's everything is You. I'm just passing through. Be glorified this morning. And when the Holy Spirit is through speaking, Father, give me the grace to shut up and sit down. For Jesus' sake, I ask these things. Amen. Thank you, brother. You may be seated. Well, I was doing real good yesterday. I usually have a booming voice, but I don't need a microphone. But I woke up yesterday morning and stepped out with a short sleeve shirt on, and boom, it was 32 degrees. And I woke up this morning and stepped outside, and it was 22 degrees. So, wow, I left out of Texas, it was over 80. Yeah, things do change. I want to ask you a question this morning. As a matter of fact, I want to ask you 4 questions this morning and end up with an application. I have trained several people. The Lord, by His grace, has allowed me to start 12 different churches, train pastors, workers, try to get them into the ministry. And there's 3 of the hardest lessons to teach a man. And I know this is going to sound real simple, but it's not quite as simple as it sounds. The hardest lesson that a human has to learn is, can you believe in God? The second hardest lesson to learn, can you believe God? And the third hardest lesson, can you obey Him? Like I said, that sounds real simple, but it's really not that simple. I mean, if you look over there, Mark chapter 9, verse 20, the Bible says, if you can believe, all things are possible. And Luke chapter 1, nothing shall be impossible with God. And look, nobody in an independent Baptist church, especially if you're a King James Version guy, nobody's going to walk in saying, oh, I don't believe God. Nobody's going to do that. I don't believe in God. What are you doing here then? But what, there's an old adage in Spanish that says between saying and believing, there's a wide gap. It's easy to say anything. I believe. But the first question I want to ask you this morning is this. Can you believe when the circumstances are out of your control? In this story right here, and there's so much here, there's no way I can cover it all in a few minutes, but we'll give it a shot. The Bible says in verse 22, behold. Every time you see that word behold, you ought to stop, pay attention. It says, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now today that don't mean much, rulers of the synagogue. But in a theocracy, when you talk about a synagogue, that's kind of like talking about City Hall today. And when you were a ruler of the synagogue, it showed two things immediately. Number one, he had a lot of affluence. And number two, he had a lot of influence. He had money. He could buy anything he wanted to. And he also had influence. He had a lot of contacts. I mean, who did he not know? Every doctor, every physician, every newfangled this or newfangled that. He knew all about it. He was a ruler of the synagogue. But there's something else I want to say about the man. I believe he was saved. How do I know this? Look what it says. He says, he's not only a ruler of the synagogue. The Bible says, Jairus by name. The Bible says he calls his sheep by their name. And they follow him. So he knows him by name, but notice something else. Boy, I've been an independent Baptist since I was born. Now, I didn't get saved till later, but I was an independent Baptist since I was born. My daddy was a independent Baptist missionary since 1954, and I didn't come along till 56, so that kind of tells you how old I am right now. But the fact is that I've been to lots and lots of Baptist churches. If they're not independent Baptists, I usually don't go to them. But have you ever seen this? Look what it says. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. That's the first thing he did. And the second thing he did, verse 23, besought him, and if you're walking with me, it says greatly. He besought him greatly. I don't want to take the time to do this, but I'm going to. In my entire life, I'm 60 years old today. No, it's not my birthday. I'll be 61 before I can shake a stick. But the only time I've ever really seen anybody really beseech someone. I was an 11-year-old boy in a town called Sikaya in Peru, in the mountains of Peru. Another missionary came down and to see my dad. They were going to show off the works to each other. I was standing there bored out of my gourd, wishing everybody just go home. But all of a sudden, we were standing in this big plaza with the Catholic Church right in front of us. All Latin American towns have a Catholic church with a plaza in front of it. That's where the town's built around. And I saw this little lady. She was real short. She was very old. She was carrying a great big weight on her back. That's how they do it in the mountains. She untied that big thing she was carrying. It laid on the side and walked into that church and fell down at the feet of a statue of Mary. She cupped her hands. And she began to plead like I have never seen anyone else in my life. Never. See, I've got to say some things, and some of them you might not like to hear, but when's the last time we actually fell at the feet of Jesus, beseeching him greatly? May I answer the question? I stepped out of Peru in June of 2016, a country of much need. Now, that's all South America. It's actually the whole world except the United States. And I've traveled around. I already put 60,000 miles on my car out there. And what I find is this. The brother was commenting to me just before I stepped up here. Have you noticed that in most churches, everybody's really old? That's what he's saying. He must have been looking at me while he said that. I'm not sure. But see, the problem with America today, they're all hoping that Trump will make America great again. Well, the problem is this. The Americans, and I'm one too. I was born in Dallas, Texas. I was raised in Peru, but I always considered Houston home, if that's what you were. Go back to space, we're landing in Houston. See, the Americans, we don't need anything. Oh, we don't need anything. Oh, yes, we do. No, no, no. See, when you really need something, you beseech greatly to the one who can do it for you. But the truth is this. If my bank account can't cover it, then my insurance card can. Whatever I need, I've got taken care of. So when I need God in something, I usually come to the altar and I might last 2.3 seconds if it's a big need. If it's not, well, my knee will almost hit the ground and I'll get back to my seat again. I'm not knocking anything. I'm just telling you, we've never come to that place where we really, really, really want something. And then when we really, really want something, it's usually for ourselves. You know, like a new Mercedes 530 CL, kind of something like that, that we really, really want it. But that's not what I'm even talking about. Here's a man that had something that he really, really wanted. Notice what his problem is. He has a little girl. And she's at the point of death. No, I don't mean that maybe tomorrow. I don't mean maybe next week. She's at the point of death right now. My bank account can't buy her life. My medical situation can't save her life. I know everybody, the who's who of medicine, and they can't help. I need somebody that's going to save this little girl's life, and I need it now. He didn't care about his pride. He didn't care about his position. He didn't care about his possessions. He saw Jesus, and the first thing he did, he threw himself at his feet. And he didn't say, now, Lord, if you would, you know, of course, I've got time. Now, if you don't have time, I understand. No, 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 no. No, no, no. See, I had three boys and three girls. When my boys would get sick, had the sniffles or something like that, and didn't want to go to church, they'd find their dad's boot up there and tell them to get up. We're going to church. My daddy didn't even ask me, son, do you want to go to church? No, no. My dad asked me, son, do you want to live? Yes, sir. Let's go to church. I'd draw that out a whole long time, but I don't have the kind of time. But when your little girl gets sick, oh, she's got a sniffle. Emergency room, doctors. This is, she... Oh, it might be cancer. Let's do something now. That's how we fathers act, react. But when all of a sudden we know there's nothing else you can do, it brings you to a point that you don't care what it cost you, what they might think. He fell on his face and besought him greatly. And if we had time to develop these thoughts, let the Holy Spirit do it in your mind. Notice these three things he asked. The first thing he asked, it says in verse 23, come. You see that right after, I pray thee? There's a come that says, come. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord shows up? When you need something, the Lord comes. That's what you want over it, then come. But the second thing, lay thy hands on her, because if you do, she'll be healed. If you just put your hands on her, she'd be healed. But the third thing, the what's really bubbling up in his heart, the one that's killing him, that she may live. Let her live. Don't let her die. Let her live. And these beautiful words, and Jesus went with him. Can you see the excitement jumping up? He's already tried all the doctors. He's tried everything there is. And his hope is beginning to live a little bit. Come on, Jesus, let's hurry. She's at the point of death right now. I ask you a question this morning. Can you trust the Lord when the circumstances are out of your control? When there's nothing you can do about it? Is God still God? Oh yeah, He's God when things are good, when we just got a big fat paycheck, when things are going good, got good health, got a good house, got good insurance program. God is God. We praise Him, but what happens when all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from under your feet? Well, now you can't control anything. Well, the second question I want to ask you, and let me just throw this one thing in before I walk off this point. There are times that my Heavenly Father wants to show you His love so much, want you to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord, that He allows some circumstance into your life that you cannot control, so that you will plead with Him greatly to watch Him do what He's going to do. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But the second question I want to ask you this morning, can you trust the Lord when hindrances confront you? Now, I'm not going to read it this morning, but I'm sure you've heard preached over and over how many times the woman with the issue of blood that she had for 12 years. If you start reading there in verse 25 all the way to 34, there's that story. But y'all have read it. You've seen it. Let me preach just a minute. Can you trust the Lord when all of a sudden, right, whenever He's tending to your situation, He's going with you, and somebody else jumps up in the way, grabs His attention, and seems to leave you in the dust? Can you trust the Lord then? Can you trust the Lord when all of a sudden the sun starts setting on your life and starts rising on the life of another? You're not in the spotlight anymore. You're just about to get that job that you needed so bad, and some other jerk came along and took and they gave to him and not you. I saw the brother director of music this morning. I wonder how many are sitting out there saying, why does he get a direct music? How come I can't do it? I sing better, not prettier than he is. Oh, it's fun to laugh, but the truth is, it's hard, hard, hard to watch the Lord start paying attention to somebody else and not you. Is He still God? Can you still praise Him? How many preachers do I know tonight, this morning, don't understand why God didn't? When that church was out of pastor over there, why did they call me? Why did they have to go call that idiot that they did call that can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag? Oh, I'm talking experience here. I'm talking about a preacher I know in San Antonio, Texas. I'm not going to mention his name. But there was a big church in Houston, and he just knew. He was the heir apparent. And they went and called a very young, unproven preacher that turned out to be a total failure. Dear pastor, is He still God? Can you still praise Him? Let's go one more. Can you trust the Lord when all hope is taken away? Look at verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? It's over. Get over it. She's dead. Don't pray about it no more. Don't worry about it no more. Just go home. Leave it alone. How many preachers today are sitting in churches? As far as they're concerned, this is the last Sunday they'll ever be in that pulpit. She's dead. I've been praying about it for a long time, and it just doesn't seem to work. Let's all just go home. Isn't that what the devil really wants you to do? Isn't that what he wants? Give up hope. I mean, after all, the guys you serve, yeah, he can probably heal somebody in life. But she's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Let it go. You don't serve a God that can raise somebody from the dead, do you? You know, this is real easy preaching. Hard living. Can you trust the Lord now? All hope is taken away. Pastor told me this morning of a young girl that just passed away, 51 years old. When you're my age, that's young, by the way. There's nothing funny about that. There's no jokes. Let me see, how does the Bible say it? I know the last part is as nitre upon vinegar, but that first part is as he that taketh a coat away in cold and vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Have you ever really tasted disappointment? It's over. It's over. Listen, I don't have time to keep pushing this. I'm going to try to be through in about 10 minutes. But I've got something to tell you. If you're a true believer in the resurrected Christ, it's never over. I mean what I'm saying is never over. Notice the words of my Lord in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, notice these words, be not afraid, only believe. Oh, can you feel the weight of the ruler of the synagogue? They just told him this little girl died. I didn't have a little girl die with me, but I had a little boy die with me in the mission field. I had to bury him. There's nothing funny about that. That horror that fills the soul and sinks you down. I can just see the Lord look into the eyes of this ruler of the synagogue, this Jairus, and saw the hopelessness. Can you just for a minute glimpse into this man's eyes? See, Lord, I tried to tell you this, how urgent this was. I tried to tell you that she was right at the point of death. See, the truth is, if you have ears to hear what I'm going to say right now, the truth is that the ways of the Lord are always slow and always clumsy to the flesh. Brother, I'm sorry, I got some papers spilled up here, and if I've been down to pick them up, I probably won't get back up again. But let me say this. Remember John chapter 11? They come running to Jesus. You know Lazarus, whom thou lovest? He's sick back there in Bethany. What did they expect him to do? Let's get our new Mustang 5.0 and let's get there in a hurry. Let's do something. There were a chair. Here's a chair right here. What did Jesus do? Y'all remember? What are you doing? I'm sitting. That's what I'm doing. Lord, maybe you didn't understand. Let me say it a bit louder. Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick unto death. Yeah, is there a motel around where I can spend the night? I've got three of them I want to spend. Now, don't that just kind of make you mad? Well, guess what? He died. He's dead. And here comes Jesus. See him walking on the water. And here comes preacher number one. Her name is Martha. Had you just been here, this wouldn't have happened. Here comes preacher number two. Oh, she's the one always sitting at Jesus' feet. Amen. It's her turn. Had you just been here, this wouldn't have happened. They sound kind of familiar to me, don't they, to you? See, it don't matter how you say it. It's what you say. Had you just been here, Lord, had you not been so slow. I mean, how dare you wait 4 days for you to show? He stinketh now. Thank you, Lord. I'm asking you a question this morning. Is he still God? See, we get so cozy with the Lord that all of a sudden the Lord is my buddy, buddy, and I can shout at him and yell at him. I can get mad at him. I can tell him what to do. Hurry up! Who are you to tell the Lord anything? I thought He was the sovereign God of the universe, and I thought you were saved by grace. See, the question I'm asking this morning, can you trust the Lord now? Now, I've got about 6 minutes left. Let me show you something. And I want to talk to you spiritual ones just for a few minutes. Notice verse 37, one of the strangest verses in the entire Word of God as far as the behavior of my Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and He suffered no man to follow Him except Peter, James, John, brother of James. What? Dear brother, there are certain areas of Christianity that not everyone can trod. This is holy ground. You really want to see Jesus do the impossible, raise the dead? First of all, you have to ask yourself a question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, now, Lord, look, I know for Brother Rose, you've been a great God, but see, you don't understand my situation. Oh. Maybe that's why the Lord hadn't done it for you. You don't believe He can. I mean, she's dead already. Why troublest thou the master any further? When the Lord was going to go in to pray in Gethsemane, there were 12 disciples. But some, He said, well, that's as far as you can go. Three of you, come on. But then when He got to a certain point, He even told those three, that's enough. You just stay here and I'm going to go yonder. There are certain areas you're not going to get to walk in. Can I say this real fast? In the prodigal of the prodigal son, in the parable of the prodigal son. Now, Pastor, you said I could drink this, didn't you? He did. I saw him and said, this is okay. Remember the prodigal that went away? It's down in the hog pen. He just had to come back. Oh, he got the ring, he got the shoes, he got the best robe, but the inheritance belonged to your brother. You didn't get it back. That older brother, let's admit it, the older brother's as much of a jerk as the younger brother, right, man? Oh, he was. You don't have to look at me like that. I'm still preaching Bible. I just don't have time to look up all the verses. See, there is a price tag of spitting in the Lord's face and walking off because you got mad at Him. Will He forgive? Yes, He'll forgive. A wretched, filthy, dirty sinner like me, if He can save me, He can save anybody. God was gracious to me. I grew up in a preacher's home. I think preacher's kids are the hardest ones to reach because we heard it all once, at least twice. Can God save us? Yes. But when we come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I know You are. You're forgiven. But there's scars from the past that it's not going to just obliterate. It's not going to just quit. There's certain areas of the ministry that the Lord simply will not allow you to follow Him in. Sorry. There comes a day, the Bible calls it the evil day, when you will be put to the test. Satan's going to bring everything he's got at you. Everything he's got at you. And you'll either stand or you'll run. If you run, will God forgive? Yes. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But there's certain areas you're just not going to be able to go. Sorry. Sorry. Notice what he says, verse 38. And when he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, boy, I always had time to push that one. Let's just go on. He seeth the tumult, and then that wept and wailed greatly. Verse 39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them. Now, Let the Holy Spirit speak to you on this one. I don't have time. But y'all do believe this is the King James Version. Y'all still believe the Bible, don't you? Is this the Word of God, or am I just making this up? It's the Word of God. That's why I want you to read it. Notice what he says. Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Teacher, you didn't just hear the doctor say that she's dead. Aren't you a carpenter? What do you know about medical stuff? Come on, guys. Bring it down to our level. You're just God. You're just Jesus. What do you know about going on in my life? That's a pretty stupid statement if you ask me. The God that knows all things and can do all things don't understand about your life. Maybe you don't understand about His life. Maybe, just maybe, you have not asked Him for anything, and therefore, that's what you get. Nothing, because that's what you're asking for. Anyway, look at this. Last question I want to ask you. Do you still believe? Can you trust the Lord in the face of mockery? Scoffing. When circumstances looks at you square in the eyeballs and says, you are a moron. How can you possibly believe now? Look at this. Verse 40. I'm almost done. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out. Folks, be real careful. The Bible speaks in Psalms 1. He talks about the people all standing at the door, man, they can come in. It's not going to interrupt me none. I don't know if they're supposed to or what. I feel kind of bad right now. I'll be done in 2 minutes. Give me 2 more minutes. The Bible speaks. Watch out what you hear, because you'll walk in the way. What you hear is going to affect the way you think. And what you think is going to affect the way you walk. And where you walk will determine where you wind up. And the Bible says, the scorners, you'll sit in the seat of the scornful. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ using this Bible, if there's any hope in the Scriptures ever offered to the scornful. According to Proverbs 19, the only thing offered the scornful are stripes. Stripes. Judgment. Be careful what you hear. Be careful the way you walk. You better hear what God has to say in His Word, and you better learn how to believe it. Jesus Christ said, be careful how you hear. Now let me finish this up. Verse 41. And when He took the damsel by the hand, He said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted. I love that. Ah, oh, that's the whole art of hermeneutics. Interpretation of Scripture. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. Let me stop and say this. You know the wonderful, and I'm going to have to ask one of you younger guys to pick this stuff up before the pastor gets here. He'll shoot me for letting that stuff around. You know what's the beautiful thing about faith and believing against hope against hope? When the Lord finally does come and raise that little dead girl from the grave. After everybody laughed you to scorn. After everybody told you how the cow ate the cabbage. After everybody told you he did not want to work. That's you with her hand in your arm. You walk. Now laugh. Laugh now. She's walking. And she's 12 years old. Brother Tom, I'm turning the service over to you. Thank you for this privilege.